I was really excited to read about your live show plans. Would you like to give us a little bit of a preview?
Well, I went on tour back in October, all outside, social distance. It was a big production, and the whole tour sold out, and it was very exciting. But this next run of shows, I'm just looking to make it bigger, squatchier, just better production. I want lasers. I want fog trees on the stage, you know, to make me feel at home.
Yeah.
And I just want to be playing my favorite music, connecting with the crowd.
I don't think the roadies are going to be happy carrying trees.
Okay. We actually did have trees on the last tour.
At the top of the show, you heard brass playing sensation, Sasquatch, who's just joined forces with the legendary rock musician John Oates to reimagine the 1982 classic hit Man Eater on Monster Cat. Sasquatch is the sexiest and smoothest squatch in the woods. You can hear him tickling the brass and dancing with his big feet from miles away. The MVP of social distancing has become a viral star and the number one live streaming music show in the USA. I'm Greg Day. You're listening to an ad-free episode of the Portland Podcast. You know, I was walking down Northwest 23rd today from the bank, and a car pulled up and the girl in the passenger seat yelled out, "My pussy is on fire. My pussy is on fire." I think that means that spring is on the way. Let's hear more now from Sasquatch, a.k.a. Sax, on working with John Oates on the new Maneater single.
You got this brand new single. It's out streaming everywhere. And you mentioned that, you know, you and John, you speak the same language. You had a connection almost immediately. Is that due to you both being so hairy?
John is pretty hairy, but a real identification was through, I would say, the blues. And when we started playing together, it's just like talking me and you, except through music.
You tell your own story through your notes. I thought that was a very interesting quote. You're getting kind of deep there. A lot of videos of you out there, and I believe you, the first video was with Half an Orange, is that right? The Around the World singles. There's an amazing animation of you on that track.
Thanks.
I'm curious how that came to be, how that collaboration came to be.
With Half an Orange?
Yes, yes.
Well, I was just a feature on that track, I think. Mm-hmm. They're just friends of mine. Half an Orange, they actually helped out with the animation for the Maneater video.
They did, yes. And the reception's been great for that.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I want to just say that, you know, I grew up with my family playing music, and I sort of turned into a jazz snob. I would only listen to jazz music, and anyone who didn't listen to jazz music didn't have it going on. And at one point, a female squatch came into my life and opened my mind to different types of music. Yeah. And one day I woke up and I decided I want to stop being a jerk and I want to learn new things, new styles of music. And ironically, I had grown up also listening to the music of Daft Punk. And so the next genre I really became interested in was electronic music. And then from there, like the 90s hip-hop, Tribe Called Quest, with some jazz in there. And I feel like there are a lot of people still who confine themselves to one genre, which is totally okay. But I think John and I both are open to different styles of music, and we wanted to make something fun, something dancey, and something kind of happy and just vibey. And so I think we did that.
Yeah, he's a real student of music, John, and a super nice guy. I'm not sure you could fit in his Porsche, though.
Well, he showed up in an Audi when we were recording outside.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I know he loves his Porsche. He loves his cars. You're great on steel guitar, too. It's my favorite instrument. I really enjoyed a video of you playing the steel guitar. Unexpected, but you're full of surprises, aren't you? I mean, you're covering Come As You Are by Nirvana. I never thought that this thing would happen with a saxophone, but that was incredible.
I love old country music and new country music. you know, one of my friends is Chris Stapleton, and I've gotten to hang out with Paul Franklin and a lot of great steel guitar players around Nashville.
Oh, wow.
When I was in the area. And so I've kind of picked up the steel guitar over the years. It's just an angelic instrument that I attempt to play.
It is, it is. By the way, are you familiar with Carl Denson? He's a saxophone player for the Rolling Stones. Oh, great, yes. He told me something that's very interesting. He said that he had to learn to play less notes, and I thought that was very interesting, playing with the Stones. I'm wondering if the Brits have a different style. Like, they tend to be a bit more simple with their style. Would you say that's the English style?
The English style. You know, it's hard to say what's right and what's whose style, but I will say it's a very interesting point, because when you simplify things, mm-hmm. I feel like it's easier to connect. And one of the faults that I used to have as a jazz musician is playing stuff that's too heady. It's too much theory and not enough emotion. No. You know, I feel like Miles Davis can play one note and he can say a million notes within one note, and the audience can feel it, and he just doesn't have to go all over the horn if he doesn't want to, but he can. And because he can, and he chooses not to, he's expressing himself in that way.
Now, you performed, or you co-hosted with John Oates at the Oates Songfest. This was just, I believe, last week with on Nugs TV. Sheila E. performed, and I wish I would have caught that, because she is still incredible, an incredible performer.
Yep.
There were some big names at that show. I mean, would you like to touch on that experience at the Oates Songfest? Because Dave Grohl, Bob Weir, Sammy Hagar, there were some big names involved.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Yeah. It was very humbling. I got to introduce Sheila actually on the show with her song Glamorous Life. And it's just kind of an awe-inspiring experience. My heroes, you know, Bob Weir, Dave Grohl, Sammy Hagar, mm-hmm. just to name a few.
This is very exciting, because you're planning original compositions with John in the future. And that, it sounds as if that's already happening. So I was really excited to read about your live show plans. Quite the show, the spectacle planned. Would you like to give us a little bit of a preview?
Well, I went on tour back in October, all outside, social distance. It was a big production, and the whole tour sold out, and it was very exciting. But this next run of shows, I'm just looking to make it bigger, squatchier, just better production. I want lasers. I want lasers. I want fog, trees on the stage, you know, to make me feel at home.
Yeah.
And I just want to be playing my favorite music, connecting with the crowd.
I don't think the roadies are going to be happy carrying trees.
Okay. We actually did have trees on the last tour. It was fun.
Oh, you did. Right, right. Yes. With the new song, the Manida song, it's really interesting, going off on a tangent here, but John mentioned that when he originally wrote this song, it was a reggae version. I think I remember reading this in his book, too. The original version of Manita was very different, and you're sort of getting back to that with this version, and you brought an electronic element to it, and it's a very unique take on the song, and I think you were maybe both surprised by that.
Yeah, the song kind of kept evolving, and so we were just kind of like, let's turn it into a fun song.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Let's just turn it into something fun. We wrote it. We did a reggae version of it. There is one that is released. Then that's why the tempo has stayed the same. It was 70 beats per minute or 140 beats per minute the way we did it. And so we were kind of thinking, let's turn it into a pop, electropop, reggae kind of fusion. And the more we got into it, the more we just had fun with it. And we were just like, let's get some drops and some sweeps and some house bass, and turn it into something really cool.
You actually connected through John's wife, correct? She reached out to you on I think, Instagram?
Instagram, yeah.
You're becoming quite big, even though it's still hard to find you, but people believe in you.
It's a beautiful thing because they haven't for a very long time. And so I've kind of got a new sense of myself, and I really want to let other people know that I believe in them, and let's get squatchy together.
Yeah, yeah. And you talk about your grandfather as an influence. I'm curious about that relationship because you come from a musical background. I'm really curious about Gigfoot, your grandfather. You've touched on your relationship with them, but can you tell us a little bit more about that and growing up?
Yeah, growing up, he was a guitar player. He sang.
Guitar player, really? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I played a Gibson 335, and we would steal power out of random people's houses through an extension cord and just kind of jam in the woods, you know, where it was safe. My sister, she played flute. She still plays flute. Her name is Big Flute. And we just kind of, it's always been in the family, you know, listening to the West Coast jazz. And my sister would listen to gospel music. And so I just grew up really connecting with, I don't know, music as part of my identity.
And it really makes sense that you hooked up with John Oates because his Arkansas album was a big surprise for a lot of people, influenced by Mississippi John Hurt. And he has so many diverse interests, too. You must have learned a lot from him.
So far, I'm learning a lot every day. And when we talk and chat, it's humbling for me to, people call me a legend, but he's truly a legend and his stories are really fascinating.
So the live show is going to be original compositions and covers or what do you have planned for the live sets? I hope there's a Portland show coming, by the way.
I want it to be surreal.
Surreal. Yeah.
Surreal. When people come, I want it to be like, if you've been eating sandwiches your whole life, and now here's spaghetti for the first time ever, tasting spaghetti, and it's just completely different. I want it to be a mix of electronic music and originals and covers, and I'm putting it together right now, and I'm very excited.
You did work with John on another track, Send Me Someone to Love. Now, is this out or is this streaming?
No, it's missing.
By the way, you've got the best merch, some great merch. I'm going to have to get that tank top and take that out to the gym.
We'll have to get you some.
I hope there's Portland shows or Northwest shows. Director friend of mine is doing a Bigfoot movie. He wants to work with you, but I don't know. You're a very busy man. So I love that people are catching on. I don't know if you've ever met Bobo, Squatchologist. You've mentioned him before.
I secretly sample him in one of my songs called Squatchology.
Oh, really?
I'm a huge fan. I haven't released anything because of, copyright samples, but I'm a huge fan of Bobo, and I love the shows Finding Bigfoot and everything. I watch it regularly, and I enjoy it. It's entertaining.
I'm actually curious about your country influences, like current artists, like Sturgill or any other contemporary country artists.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see, my current country music, Chris Stapleton is number one me.
Right. Right.
Let's see.
It's a tough question, you know?
Yeah.
You've got so many different influences and so many diverse different interests musically, and I think beyond that, I think there's a lot of depth. I think there's a lot of depth to sex, and I'm really curious about...
I hope that depth eventually comes out more the more I release music. I kind of just do what I feel in the moment. So, John and I released a pop song together, but tomorrow I might release something else,
I know there's some stories there. You're still pretty new on the scene, which is pretty remarkable. I do believe in you. Thank you so much for chatting with us. And
Thanks so much.
Really looking forward to seeing live shows. I really appreciate you taking the time there.
Awesome. Thank you for believing in me. I hope we talk again.
All right. Cheers. Thank you. Right, thank you, Sax.
And thank you for listening to the Portland Podcast. I'm Greg Bidet, your host. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back with a brand new episode very shortly. See you then.